Hello again, and welcome to the program. We're continuing today in our study of Elisha. We read, "And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Now, he said that to Elijah just before Elijah went to heaven in a flaming chariot. But in the meantime, we find the story begins. Elisha, the son of Shaphat, was plowing. Isn't that interesting? He was plowing. He is going to be anointed as a prophet. Elijah was told to go and anoint him as a prophet. He was plowing. It was in the day of apostasy. Things were not going well. 24 times in that area we read, "And Elijah," and then 20 times we read, "And Elisha," and we have Elijah and Elisha together in 20 different verses. Two farmers. Interesting. Elijah came out of a field somewhere and went to Ahab and said, "Hey, it's not going to rain for 3 years." Here we have Elisha also. He was plowing. In Mark 1 and 16, we have two fishermen, Peter and Andrew. What were they doing? They were fishing. God says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Well, here's a couple of farmers. We read in 2 Kings 2:6, "And they too went on." We read in 2 Kings 2:7, "They too stood by Jordan." And then we read, "They too went over on dry ground." Some miracle-working farmers. Amazing. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. If that song was written back there, they would have been singing it as they traveled from one place to another. Make this your prayer today, living for Jesus.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading and give Him my all. suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross, living for Jesus through us. I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Well, we have Elisha and Elijah. They were simply servants for the master. We read here in 2 Kings chapter 3 that Elisha, the son of Shaphat, poured water on the hands of Elijah. For 10 years he was just his servant. God wants some servants for the master. About 40 years ago I had the privilege of starting the Faithway Baptist College of Canada in Ajax when I was pastor there at that church. And I said, what we need to do is, we don't need a college that's going to try and train leaders. Let's have a college that will train servants for the master. God chooses his leaders from the servants. We have so many people being trained to lead these days, that there are so many leaders going in so many different directions. The sheep are confused. What we need is some servants for the master. Well, we get to Gilgal. It's interesting, the test there that Elisha had. After 10 years of traveling together, they arrived at Gilgal, and Elijah suggested to Elisha that he remain there while he traveled on to Bethel. Gilgal was a very special place. It was where the children of Israel first camped after they crossed the Jordan. It was here that the reproach of Israel was rolled away, and so we read, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place shall be called Gilgal, which means a rolling away. Well, they came from the wilderness into the promised land. Now, it's very important to understand that when we look at the promised land in the Bible, it is not a picture of heaven, as so many hymns would have us think. It is actually a picture of the victorious Christian life. They are coming out of their wilderness wandering, and they're going into a victorious life. I mean, the first thing they did was fight the battle of Jericho. There's no battles in heaven, but they had the victory. And so as they're coming out of this wilderness wandering for 40 years, because they refused 40 years earlier to go into that victorious Christian life, now they're crossing the Jordan and they're coming over to Gilgal. Problem. Things had changed at Gilgal. It was there that God's people came to Samuel and they said they wanted to do things like the world does things. It was at Gilgal that they demanded a king. We read in 1 Samuel 8, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And the Lord said unto Samuel, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, we can call ourselves fundamental independent Baptists if we want to, and we can carry our King James Bible to church three times a week, but we can also refuse to let the Lord reign over us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and for that part, while we go through the motions on Sunday. We can say, oh yeah, I'm a fundamentalist, and refuse to obey the voice of the Lord, refuse to let the Lord have reign over us during the week. We take our King James Bible and stick it under our arms and wander off to church and make people think we're spiritual. Haven't looked at it since the last time we were in church. God calls that hypocrisy. And so we see there's going to be a test here for Elisha. One test at Gilgal. There will be another one at Bethel. There will be another one at Jericho. Also, we will look at the sons of the prophets, who are mentioned a couple of times in this portion of Scripture. Now, the sons of the prophet are actually mentioned 9 times in 1 and 2 Kings. Nothing good is recorded about them, although several negative things are recorded. When Elijah and Elisha arrived at Gilgal the first time, they determined that there was a death in the pot. The sons of the prophets had found a wild gourd and gathered thereof a wild vine, I should say, and gathered thereof wild gourds. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, had found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Now, first thing they did was they went out into the field. The second thing they did was they got a wild vine and got some wild gourds from it. They shrewed them into the pot, and they didn't know what they were doing. They went out into the field. Jesus said, the field is the world. Remember our verse? The people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, but we will have a king over us. God said, they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. God has told us how to do it. We have said, no, we want to do it like the world does it. We want to get a crowd. That'll make us look successful. We get a bunch of buildings, pave the parking lot, stick some buses out there, get a big crowd sitting out there who aren't going to pay any much attention to what the Bible says anyway. But we'll call that fundamentalism. So they gathered herbs. What is that? Herbs are used for flavoring and garnishing food. Flavoring makes it taste better, and garnishing makes it look better. Years ago, Gypsy Smith said, I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into the kingdom or the church, we have lowered the standard in order to capture. We have compromised and lost. We have been more concerned about filling our church registers than we have about the kingdom. We have not sufficiently emphasized the greatness of coming to Christ, and we have said it is only a step. Who told you so? Only a step to Jesus? It is not true. It is not gospel. One step to Jesus, then it is a very big step. They have made it a very little thing, and we have multitudes of people joining the churches. It is child's play. It is used not to be. It used not to be. He that is Christ never made it easy. And the man who makes it easy to be a Christian preaches a mongrel gospel. Jesus said, repent. There is no salvation without repentance. That's what Gypsy Smith said years ago. What did D.L. Moody say? I believe we are making a woeful mistake in taking so many people into the church who have never been truly convicted of sin. Sin is just as black in a man's heart today as it ever was. When a man is not deeply convicted of sin, it is a pretty sure sign that he has not truly repented. What did Harry Ironside say? Shallow preaching that does not grapple with the terrible fact of man's sinfulness and guilt, calling on all men everywhere to repent, results in shallow conversions, and so we have a myriad of glib-tongued professors today who give no evidence of regeneration whatsoever. Harry Ironside said that in 1937. 2 Kings 4:39. We read, one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot, for they knew not. They had no discernment. Oh, these are sons of the prophet. They are learning what the Bible says. There's death in the pot. How do we get to the place where they do not have this discernment? Simple. Our churches today, oh, let's just keep the messages positive. Let's not have any issues. And those wolves get in there. That's how it happens. No preaching about the issues today. Let's just make everybody feel good and go home and let the wolves devour them. And God said, preacher, I've made you a watchman. A watchman. Tell them. Let them know. Oh, not anymore. Well, there was the test at Gilgal, and Elisha wanted nothing to do with these compromising sons of the prophets. Elisha had no problem passing this test when Elijah suggested that he tarry here. So we read in 2 Kings, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Living for Jesus, it means preaching the whole counsel of God. Make this your prayer today.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and this is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee. Love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. Thank you. suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross, living for Jesus through the light of his smile, seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne, my life I give henceforth to thee.